You are listening to Along the Line, brought to you by the Media Freedom Foundation.
Charles Darwin's personal pet tortoise didn't die until recently. You are listening to Along the Line, brought to you by the Media Freedom Foundation. On today's episode, we explore the debate around climate change. Please listen responsibly. Beautiful black people smiling back at me across the wide river in the ocean blue. Welcome to Along the Line. I am Dr. Nicholas Baham III. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and anti-fascist turtle lover, Dr. Nolan Higdon. And of course, our sound engineer, the great Janice Domingo. Today, we're going to explore climate change. So, Nolan, what's going on?
Well, the ATL universe there, they have spoken. They want the fun facts at the beginning of the show. We heard you loud and clear, not in the middle.
That is a fun fact.
It is.
That's true. But my fun fact is sort of true anyways. It's not actually
sort of
ultimately
true.
A fact. Yeah, it's an alternative fact. Now, Charles Darwin, I guess, brought this 5-year-old tortoise back with him from the Galapagos Islands,
yeah.
Named Harriet, and she outlived him by 124 years.
That's awesome.
You know why I think, I have a theory on why they live so long.
Because they live so slow.
Do you think
slow?
It's a piece of toast in the morning?
They just take it nice and slow and easy.
Oh. That's true.
Right?
No
Unlike
stress.
Most Americans.
Yeah, that's true. I always notice when I travel internationally, everything moves slower. And then as soon as you get off the plane in America, it's like a whirlwind, people knocking you over, getting
exactly.
their stuff.
Exactly. We live to work, whereas the rest of the world works to live. And the tortoise is just saying, I'm living, baby.
Just to jump off on that, I have family in Hawaii that used to come visit a lot and vice versa. And the first time a cousin of mine came here to California, she was just amazed. She was like, you guys move way too fast. Like, we didn't sit down to eat at the dinner table kind of thing. Like, we would stand and eat in the kitchen, and then when we're done, we got to go.
Yep.
And
that's us.
Yeah, that's probably like 75% of my life, to be honest.
That will kill you.
It will, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying as we speak.
Speaking of dying, climate change is our topic here. And
we're all dying.
We're all dying, yeah. Yes. This Greenland story sort of captured my imagination. Now, I want to say on the surface, I think this is an absolute distraction. This is another way of Trump distracting us to talk about something rather than actual issues, because he's not actually going to buy Greenland. But I thought it kind of fit in some things we've been talking about in recent weeks about this new Gilded Age, where the wealthy are so confident because democracy is so weak at holding them accountable, they think they can buy countries, right? I mean, Jeff Bezos thinks he can own commerce. Zuckerberg thinks he can own what it means to be social in communication. So the Greenland story, I thought...
Which, by the way, is odd for a guy who has some social-emotional differences, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah, that is very true, and never taken a class on democracy, but you know, yet wants to deliver it to the world. I don't know. Greenland, I hope you won't sell. I hope you'll stay tough and not take the Trump offer.
Well, I mean, after you get insulted, what are you going to do? You're going to turn around and sell?
Yeah, I think that's only something that, what's his name would do? Christie from, Chris Christie from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And as we all know, nasty women don't sell.
Mm. Damn straight.
That's right.
I do not sell.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you want to go back and listen to some of our shows where we talked about those topics, I want to encourage you to go to projectcensored.org/ATL or youtube.com/alongline. We've gotten a bunch of new subscribers there. So if you're a new subscriber, please listen to some of the old programming. And you can also subscribe to us on Instagram. We're Along the Line Show. You can send us an email. We'll read it on our program. We're alongthelinepodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can also follow us all on Twitter, where we're always talking. I'm at Nolan_Higdon. Nick is at Dr. Dreadlocks, DocTorDredlocks. Janice is at J_Nice44. And Along the Line, again, is at Along the Line with the number 2. Hey, and also this month, my book came out with Mickey Huff, United States of Distraction. We're touring all around the country and doing all kinds of book talks. So come on out if you get a chance. Come out and see us. You can also come out and see me and Nick in Hayward. We'll be there November 1 and November 2 for the Union for Democratic Communication Conference. So we'll be in town presenting on some new stuff we're working on, chatting about the podcast. Love to have you come out and meet us. That's, again, at California State University, East Bay in Hayward. Finally, if you're an educator, I want to encourage you to use Along the Line in the classroom. It's a great primer for discussion, a great way to get some of these complicated topics reduced down to about 30 minutes and give students a way to start going through content. All right, Nick, let's talk about that liberal socialist hoax.
Yes,
climate change.
Yeah. I do want to say, too, for our readers, you got to get a copy of United States of Distraction. I'm digging in. It's on my desk. Whenever I have a moment, I'm gleaning through it, trying to get further into it. And I got to say, for our listeners, Nolan Higdon is more than just a pretty face on the radio. The dude can write.
He's all
so
right.
So please. Yeah, he's as some of our
Janice
students say,
it real.
He's all right.
Keeping it real. He's all right.
He's all right. All right, so the way I want to do this broadcast is I want to break down some facts that we need to know about climate change, and I also want to talk about what the Trump administration is doing to accelerate climate change. Yes, I use the word accelerate. So a few things that you need to know. The concentration of carbon dioxide, or CO2, in our atmosphere as of 2018 is the highest that it has been in 3 million years. And that is 408 parts per million. 3 million years. I'm getting, by the way, most of my data here from conservation.org, NASA, and then when we talk about Trump, from the New York Times. But there's a beautiful chart. It's not beautiful because it spells disaster, but there's a chart that NASA provides where it shows us where the levels of CO2 have been over these low 3 million years and the incredible spike that we've seen in recent years.
Where can they go to find that chart?
You can find that chart on NASA's website. I believe it's just NASA.com, or look up NASA climate change.
CO2 map, right?
CO2 map. 2016, second fact, 2016 was the warmest year on record. Again, NASA data shows that global averages in 2016 were 1.78 degrees Fahrenheit, or for our Canadian friends, 0.99 degrees Celsius, warmer than the mid-20th century average. 17 of the 18 warmest years have occurred since the year 2000.
Whoa, say that one more time?
Yes. 17 of the 18 warmest years have occurred since the year 2000.
Wow. You know, you've heard this myth, right? That people will say that we go through warming cycles or something like
yes.
that. Have you heard this?
Yes. This isn't a cycle. Okay, this is what we commonly call hell.
That's what I was just about to say. We are living hell.
It's hot.
Don't you think when you pull things out of your ass like that, like warming cycles, it shows that you're trying to find the evidence to fit the conclusion?
Yes, yeah. And we also know that those folks who utter those things have fossil fuel industry tattoos all over themselves. 11% of all global greenhouse gas emissions are caused by humans are caused by deforestation. And we are seeing the burning of the Amazon now. Not just the fires that are there, but the deforestation to create agriculture, to provide cows for beef eaters, and to grow other crops. I think soybeans, too. They're getting in the soybean game. All right. That's comparable to all the emissions from all the cars and trucks on the planet. That's how deep the deforestation issue is. Another fact, the Amazon, which we've just mentioned, is the carbon-storing powerhouse. In the Amazon, 1% of all tree species sequester 50% of the region's carbon. Long story short, we need the trees.
And I was reading that Brazil has 60% of the Amazon, and 20% of what Brazil had was gone.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Deforestation, yeah.
I've heard that out of every 10 breaths you take, two of them are owing to the Amazon forest. Two of them. So your breaths are in trouble right here.
Is everybody else counting their breaths right now?
Yes.
So the one who's doing that?
I certainly do, at least when I meditate. 11% of the world's population is currently vulnerable to climate change. We're talking about 800 million people. Impacts such as droughts, floods, heat waves, extreme weather events, and sea level rise, such as what we've just recently seen in the Bahamas with Hurricane Dorian. Coastal blue carbon ecosystems apparently are critical. Just 0.7% of the world's forests are coastal mangroves. Yet, they store up to 10 times as much carbon per hectare as tropical forests. You see where I'm getting at here? There's a natural solution to climate change. We're not going to be able to solve this without being in harmony with our natural environment. So we're talking about ecosystems. We're talking about forests, etc. If we want to really combat climate change, dude, we can't be burning forests. We have to be planting trees.
That's kind of really, I think, fascinating. I've never heard it quite put like that because, the tech industry, which I'm always skeptical of because I've followed their history, they're always trying to say they have new solutions, right? We can figure out a way to create something to cool the water, or create something to create oxygen. But actually, you don't need any of that shit. You could just plant trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a choice. You can walk around in 120 degree heat in some kind of a cooling suit, you know, with all the other kinds of tech, and live underground or whatever you've got to do.
The fact that it's even gotten to that state where you need technology to grow something organically, you know there's something wrong.
There is something wrong. And look, let me also make this other argument. The conservation angle is more cost effective, okay? In the Maldives, for example, building a seawall for coastal protection costs about $2.2 billion. Even after 10 years of maintenance costs, it would still be four times cheaper to preserve natural reefs than any other technological solution. Okay? I want to also mention to you that an area of coastal ecosystems larger than New York City is destroyed every year on our planet, removing another important buffer from extreme weather for coastal communities and releasing carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. Look, long and short, nature is the untapped solution. Tropical forests are effective at storing carbon, providing at least 30% of the action needed to prevent the worst climate change scenarios. However, nature-based solutions actually only receive 2% of all climate funding. Should mention that... What I mentioned is that with tropical forests, they provide at least 30% of the action needed to prevent the worst climate change. However, nature-based solutions only receive 2% of all climate funding. So for those of you who are out there giving money to folks, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do this, who are fighting against climate change, understand that nature-based solutions are very low on the scale of solutions, yet nature-based solutions are the way to go. Plant trees. You know, some of this is as simple as, even when you're in a city, planting rooftop gardens. We could do that on every home and on every business in every one of our major cities. That's it. And how much would that contribute?
Yeah, I think I remember some proposal about that, and even like some of the small things, like you could paint like rooftops white, I think.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I've even heard proposals about painting our streets white to be able to reflect off.
But yeah, I think what you're talking about there, and I know for some people they're probably like, here go the wackos again on the left coast thinking
yes,
of things.
Yes, that's right.
But we used to have sort of a national confidence where we could come up with big ideas like this and a leadership that was willing to take that's those right. giant ideas. I think that's what's missing right now. We have a major party, and I would argue almost a party and a half, that is the we really can't do anything party. You know, like, let's not think about these big ideas. Let's adapt to, yes, to what it is. Where we used to have, like, big thinkers and motivation and organizations are willing, yes, to carry the ball across the line.
Yes. And by the way, you know, for those of our listeners who think that we're totally wacko, the program is called On the Line. We didn't specify whether the line was to the left or to the right. But I think if you've listened to enough of our broadcasts, you know which line we're along, right?
It's true.
Okay, so how much is this going to cost? Apparently, it's going to cost $140 billion a year to make the changes that humanity needs to adapt to a warming world. This, we're just talking about adaptation, all right?
Oh.
Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but actually it's less than 0.1% of global GDP.
Sorry, this is on a global scale. Huh?
This is on a global scale.
Oh,
yeah.
Because student loan debt in this country alone is $1.3 trillion.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I'm so glad that you juxtaposed those kinds of things. Stuff that we're spending on and the stuff we need to be spending on. Because the fact is that, you know, after I get through the Trump stuff, you're going to realize that not only do we need to fight climate change the natural way, but we're also going to have to adapt to what's going on right now.
There's
The Eastern Seaboard right now is on frickin' fire.
Mm-hmm. Have we gotten to a point, though, to the point where we can't reverse this?
That's a good question. I'm an eternal optimist, Janice, and a closet futurist, and I don't believe that it's beyond our capability to reverse this. The problem is that we may be at a tipping point right now as we speak.
Yeah, I think, when I was listening to some of the, there's a series of reports, studies that came out now, because it's September, which means they put them in last spring, but they came out now, and it seems to be that we are at that point where losing land, losing human life, losing ecosystems is probably going to be a reality. The question is about how much land we'll have left, how many humans we'll have left.
That's correct.
That's where we're sort mm-hmm. of at, and what sort of life they'll have, of course.
And I do want to say, for those of you who are out there and you say, well, you know, jobs, 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 jobs. We can't do anything about climate because of, you know, jobs. This is the Trump line, right? Let's have jobs. Let's go and go back to digging coal. Hey, why not? Those are jobs. Those are not jobs. Natural climate solutions like ending deforestation and restoring degraded forests could, at the global level, create 80 million jobs. Bringing 1 billion people out of poverty and adding to the U.S. $2.3 trillion in productive growth, and essentially replacing what we've lost through tax cuts for the wealthy. Those are jobs. Those are numbers. We're not hearing from the Trump administration about 80 million jobs in the coal industry, are we? These are real jobs. And by the way, I wish, having listened to the latest Democratic debate, I wish that the Democratic Party candidates would stop namby-pambying around. These are serious jobs that can bring a lot of people out of poverty. They can, you know, Trump's on us in California about the homeless encampments. Dude, there's work to be done on really urgent matters that will save our planet.
Yeah, I think everyone's in agreement that the New Deal brought Americans out of the Great Depression. One of his programs was the Civilian Conservation Corps, which did just this, reforestation.
The CCC.
Right, and they employed 3 million people. And now our nation has about 7 million people out of work. So even though this program is small as that, not even as large as what you're talking about, would cut unemployment in half.
Right. Now, a few quick things before I get to the dumpster fire. warming oceans. The oceans have absorbed much of this increased heat, with the top 700 meters, about 2,300 feet of ocean, showing warming of more than 0.4 degrees Fahrenheit since 1969. We have shrinking ice sheets. You want to talk about Greenland? Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets have decreased in mass. Data from NASA's Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment show Greenland lost an average of 286 billion tons of ice per year between 1993 and 2016, while Antarctica lost 127 billion tons of ice per year during the same period. We have glacial retreat. Glaciers are retreating everywhere around the world, including in the Alps, Himalayas, Andes, Rockies, Alaska, and in Africa. We have decreased snow cover. Satellite observations have shown us that the amount of spring snow cover in the northern hemisphere has decreased over the past 5 decades and that the snow is melting earlier. We have sea level rise. We have declining Arctic sea ice. And naturally, we have extreme events. We have ocean acidification. Since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the acidity of surface ocean waters has increased about 30%. We're seeing death to natural life in our oceans because of this. This is all a result of humans emitting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere and more of that, in effect, being absorbed into the oceans. The amount of carbon dioxide absorbed by the upper layer of the oceans is increasing by about 2 billion tons per year. Now, let's move to Orange Hitler. What has the Trump administration done? Well, we left the Paris Accord. Okay? Why? 195 nations signed on to it. We're out. Zero leadership in this area. Okay? This process, though, actually can't be completed until 2020, but the move sends a strong signal to the world that the dumpster fire, who has, by the way, laughed at climate science, is taking action at many levels of the our government to reverse climate policies, specifically those created by the Obama administration, because, as we know, he has Obama penis envy. We are in the Trump administration weakening methane regulation. So, we've had decisions to remove restrictions on methane leaks from oil and gas wells. That's one of the things that the administration has done. This is an effort on the behalf of fossil fuel producers. We're burning natural gas produces half of the carbon dioxide that burning coal does. But methane, the chief component of natural gas, has a powerful effect on climate change. Though it does not persist in the atmosphere as long as carbon dioxide does, in fact, methane has 80 times the heat-trapping power of carbon dioxide during 20 years in the atmosphere. And by the way, we don't talk about this a lot. The Republicans are saying, hey, they want to take away your beef. The fact of the matter is that cows fart, releasing methane into the atmosphere. We are going to have to look at healthier solutions and alternatives to beef.
So, I know there's some plant-based meat that they're toying with now, but there's not a lot of research in the health effects of it, but it looks popular as far as taste.
I've had it. It tastes great.
I have it all the time.
You don't want to read the ingredients because there's a ton of sodium in this, and technically it's a processed food.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the carbs alone are pretty bad. Yeah.
Totally. But you do know this while you're eating it, even if you're killing yourself on some level. You do know this while you're eating it. You are not contributing to climate change.
Yes. I think that's one issue. And the other thing I was going to ask you is you're naming out these facts, and I can't imagine the frustration of being a climate scientist.
Like, there's no such thing.
What a just terrible job.
These people have got to be demoralized. What did I go to school for? They've got to be saying.
So that's kind of my question is, like, we're talking about sort of saving the human race, because I always think it's a lot of hubris to say we're going to destroy the planet. The planet's going to be fine. It's the humans that are going to have the problem. But, at some level, kind of, if we're such an unenlightened species,
that's right.
Aren't we kind of, isn't this what we deserve at some level? I mean, haven't we kind of cooked our own books on this, that we're so short-sighted, we're so unenlightened, that maybe it's an evolutionary process on its own?
But here's the thing. If you're in a room with a man who's trying to kill himself and take everybody down, what you want to communicate to that person is, kill yourself, but don't kill the rest of us. Yeah. And this is what I want to communicate to the dumpster fire. You don't believe in the climate science? Fine. Go into the White House garage. I know that there are many of them. You've got, what do they call the limousine? Whatever they call the limousine. It's got some grandiose name. Yeah. Fine. Wrap your lips around the exhaust pipe. Let them turn it on and suck it up. Don't let the rest of us die off of your ignorance.
And let a woman start the engine.
Absolutely. Please. A nasty woman
start the engine.
And rev it up.
Well, I thought about this, though, with...
By the way, I would love to see the dumpster fire giving head to an exhaust pipe.
Yeah.
That would just be...
Hashtag make a deep fake.
That would be better than the piss tape.
Yeah. I thought about this with the death of David Koch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, here's a guy who spent his entire life and his huge amount of wealth... trying to add doubt into otherwise rational people's minds about a cataclysmic threat of climate change.
That's right.
And the planet's in a worse place for humans now as a result of those actions. But he's dead.
He's dead. And
he
dumpster
made it out.
Fire is going to be dead while
exactly.
the rest of us are boiling.
Yeah, that's the key thing I don't get. And some of these folks, like, having children and things like this with knowing these things and still having children, I'm like, you're just setting these kids up for, like, torturous hell. I mean, at even the basic level where I live when I was a kid, you used to be able just to go outside, like, and take walks any time of day. Now we actually have to plan around the heat. Or because of forest fires, we have to plan around the air quality for, like, 3 months a year. Like, those are small things that are different from one generation to generation, but they're huge in our lives.
They're huge. Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan before that, okay? When the Republicans had control of the House, it's me. That's what it's all about. That's all they care about.
Isn't that the projection? They always push that on liberals. Like, you're so self-absorbed. You want to spend the money on yourselves and take it from wealthy people. Mm-hmm. But it's really them.
And by the way, the dumpster fire has a young child. I don't know why he's not thinking about his kid.
I think he does. I think it's carnal knowledge.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
He does love his daughter. It's very strange.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yes.
No, that's just creepy. That's.
I'm serious. If you go back and review those comments.
Chill.
She's 6 feet tall. She's got the best body.
When Ivanka Trump came on stage, it's nice to see a dad kiss his daughter. Trump responded, he kisses her every chance he gets.
Did your daughter get breast implants?
No, she didn't. I mean, I would know if she did. She's actually always been very voluptuous.
I know a lot of fathers have never heard any father talk with their daughter like that.
No, neither have I.
Yeah, it's very crazy. Yes.
All right. On that note, freezing fuel efficiency standards. Transportation, as it turns out, is the United States' biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions. And fuel efficiency standards were actually a signature of the Obama administration proposal for reducing those emissions, as well as other air pollution created by vehicles. The Trump administration has proposed freezing anti-pollution and fuel efficiency standards for cars, again, in light of his Obama penis envy. Eliminating the Clean Power Plan, CPP. This was President Obama's effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by regulating carbon dioxide from existing fossil fuel-powered electric plants. This has been a big target for the dumpster fire, who campaigned in coal country on a promise to revive the ailing industry. He has called for the EPA to dismantle the CPP. He did that in 2017. The planned substitute, which was unveiled in June, was the Affordable Clean Energy Rule. That's the administration's most sweeping plan to extend the lives of coal-burning plants and shore up the mining industry, an industry that is more threatened by economic change than regulation, in fact. But he's attacking it or trying to boost it up through loosening regulation. This is 19th century technology. You got no business burning coal, straight up. And you got no business blowing up mountainsides to be able to get to the coal either. The dumpster fire is promoting drilling on public lands. Very scary. In December of 2017, the dumpster fire embarked on the biggest land protection rollback in United States history when he squeezed two national monuments in Utah by some 2 million acres. Didn't I just get through talking about the importance of deforestation? What did you not learn? This move shrank Bears Ears National Monument by 85% and reduced Grand Staircase Escalante by about a half. The two monuments had received protection in the Obama and Clinton administrations. It's ridiculous. You know, subsequent reporting on this Bears Ear decision shows that this was guided by the hope of oil drilling in the area. Similarly, the Trump administration is rushing to clear the way for oil exploration in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Why? Because cruelty is the point.
See, you know, maybe you could make some justification if there were not alternatives for fuel, right? Maybe you could make the case like people are going to live with who need or heat are going to live without it, or people who need refrigeration, like companies that provide food for people who depend on them. But there are alternatives out there. So they're like you said, they're going into these 19th century solutions rather than having that sort of big picture analysis of what's possible to solve this problem with new alternatives that are not only have more jobs, you point out, but are healthier. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mean to degrade the people in coal. I think the work they do is amazing. It's benefited the lives of tons of people. But it's dirty, horrible work, and it's ridiculously savage to these guys.
It was always dirty, horrible work. Yes.
And I wonder, I see a lot of, this kind of reminds me of people who talk for the troops. Like, you got to support the troops.
That's right.
Like, how many people actually talk to these coal miners? I hear That's a lot right. of assholes speaking up for the coal miners. Like, what do the coal miners actually believe?
Yeah. Look, and the other thing, too, that I want to say, I've talked to a lot of conservatives about this. I know a fair amount of conservatives who are nature folk. They love fishing. They love hiking. They love camping. And my question is always the same. Why'd you vote for this bastard? And a lot of them are distracted. I mean, you know, that's your book, United States of Distraction. Well, here's how the distraction plays out. I know a guy, for example, we hiked together. We're part of my son's Boy Scout troop. Why does he vote this way? Guns. So I'm like, but you care about fishing and hiking, and you want to retire, and you want to be able to fish in your retirement, so forth and so on. Yeah, but my Second Amendment is important. Dude, what's more important to you, your gun or being able, just forget about climate change, okay, for just a second. The fact that you want to spend your retirement on some idyllic lakefront space hunting and fishing all day, that is not going to be there. And with acidity in the ocean, what about your fish? What about the beauty around you? What about that fresh air that you get when you go out camping or you go out, you know, lakeside to cast your line? What about that? But they get distracted by these other issues.
Well, the other thing to that, though, is that people don't really care about long term. They care more about self-gratification, instant gratification, and efficiency. None of that is going to help me in the future because I'm not going to be here to enjoy it kind of thing. it sucks.
Because you have freaking children, and your children are going to have freaking children, and they're going to have more freaking children. Do you care about your future generations? Somewhere along the line, you know, especially as a parent, this gentleman I'm talking about is a parent. When I became a parent, it's all about the future. It's not about my life anymore. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about what I'm doing for my kids and what I'm going to be doing to set up my son's kids and their kids. What is wrong with this country in the short-term thinking around this? Two more things that I want to mention that Schittler has done.
Can I just say one thing before you get to Schittler? I did think you were making an interesting point I've never thought about there, that it's the people in the cities who want to tackle climate change to save the environment and generally are wanting to put more regulations on guns but rarely use them. They're the ones who are in the cities who don't go out in the country, yet the people who do go out in the country and use the guns are the ones who want to protect the guns and ruin the country.
And ruin the country. isn't that ridiculous? And not only that, but you see this in the countryside. I mean, I spent a summer of 2018. I was up in southern Oregon, just below Bend, which, by the way, is a lot like being in a Confederate state, okay? That portion, because there's a portion of Oregon that's Bend, definitely Oregon. Like a recreation of the Confederacy.
Idaho bleeds over into that part.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. It's very scary. As a person of color, it's totally, who's unarmed, it's totally scary. The big trucks, you see them, okay? One man, large truck, just pumping out the emissions. It's a big deal. And, you know, you got your gun racks and all. Yeah, you want to hunt. Yeah, you want to fish. But you also want that big goddamn truck. And when you're done, you know, you want to be able to barbecue some ribs and put some burgers on the grill and all this kind of stuff.
Gosh,
dude,
dick must
this
be huge.
Is affecting your environment. But you know what this is a part of? This is a part of America's Americans do not live in balance. The indigenous people who resided in this space before we murdered them all lived in balance. You kill an animal, you eat the entire animal. And by the way, you don't kill an animal for sport. Mm-hmm. That's bullshit.
It's not, it's not a sport. The animal can't kill you back.
Exactly.
Call it a sport.
Exactly. Now, if you're gonna give a jackrabbit a knife,
there you
fine.
Go.
Then now we got a sport, okay? And then you come out with your knife and you let the jackrabbit have the knife and you guys go at it.
It was Nanook of the North. Now that guy was a sport.
That's
remember?
Right.
That's right.
He'd go up right to that bear and hit it with a spear, wrestle it down. Now that guy, he's a man.
And by
the
way,
GMC for that.
And he was just providing for his family.
And by the way,
that's all he was doing.
This is also a problem with the dumpster fire's slightly more intelligent son. You know, he has the Don Jr. Slightly more intelligent. What's the other one, the moron?
I always fall asleep halfway through Dumb and Dumber. I forget their names.
Okay, so that's just call them Dumb and Dumber. or you could refer to them as the American Uday and Kuse. Whatever you like, okay? but look, two last things from Schittler. Helping offshore drillers. The Trump administration has said that it will allow offshore oil and gas drilling in nearly all coastal waters of the United States, including the California coast, the Arctic, and the eastern seaboard, as part of its quote-unquote energy dominance agenda. This decision reversed, again, an Obama administration. Are you noticing the pattern?
Mm-hmm.
An Obama administration ban. It repealed offshore drilling safety regulations put in place after the Deepwater Horizon spill. Does anybody remember Deepwater? I think they made a movie about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. If you can't read a frickin' newspaper, watch the goddamn movie. The administration delayed the release of its formal proposal. However, after a federal judge decision declared the initial executive order about the plan unlawful. Final thing. Boosting fossil fuel companies by weakening protections for endangered species. The fossil fuel industry and other businesses have long bristled at the Endangered Species Act, which can restrict their ability to mine, drill, and conduct other activity where threatened flora and fauna can be found. Now, but just as an aside, we talk about this a lot in the United States. Nobody's talked about what Shell Oil did in Nigeria to destroy flora and fauna. And where there are, you know, you've got oil running all over the damn place with a ton of spills that you never hear about because, of course, it's Africa and it's a shithole country, right? Earlier this year, the administration said it would change the act in ways that will make it harder to protect wildlife from climate change and other threats. The changes would make it easier to remove species from the endangered list and would allow a protection decision to be influenced by economic assessments. This is where you just hope that Schittler gets ravaged to death by beavers. Bring on the beaver. I'm done. You can see that I'm pissed, okay? And part of this, you know, I didn't mean to get so foamed up during this, but, you know, look, we're killing ourselves. I mean, the long and short on climate change is we're killing ourselves. This is a global emergency. The rest of the world seems to understand this. Macron certainly understands this. Angela Merkel understood this. The United States is no longer leading in this issue. And we're suffering in this country. We're rolling back all this for one reason. Obama penis envy. That's it. All this guy has done is roll back everything that Obama did because he didn't think that a black man should be president. So because you don't think that a black man should be president, we've got to kill ourselves? But this is a very American, Nolan. This is American. The fundamental issue is race. So here's the thing. At all costs, push the Negroes back. The Negro puts something into action, push it back. It's going to kill the rest of us. But guess what? We knocked down the Negro's legislation. Hey, that's a marker for us.
Yeah, I think, this isn't to fit, it's tangentially with climate change, but that's the history of this country. That's why you can't point to past, like, policy victories, because they've already been gutted by the time you're pointing.
Absolutely.
So, like, Civil Rights Bill of 1964, it's a huge moment that a white president would sign it, but as far as enacted enforcing in 2019, it's meaningless.
It's meaningless. 1954, Brown versus Board of Education, and your schools are more desegregated now than they were in 1950 frickin' four.
Feeling better
because,
now?
Because race. That's the lingua franca of this country. So here's my note to the audience. okay? Along the left line, all of those of you along the left line, hear this out. When you're choking, trying to get that last whiff of clean oxygen, which will be sparse in the future, just remember, we did it because of racism.
You've been listening to Along the Line, brought to you by the Media Freedom Foundation. My co-host, as always, Dr. Nicholas Baham III. That is right, Dr. Dreadlocks. Our editor and sound engineer is the great Janice Domingo.
The great!
Mickey Huff is our producer. Dylan Lazaga is our creative director. Adam Armstrong is our webmaster. You can listen to all of our previous content at projectcensor.org/ATL, youtube.com/alongtheline, and contact us on Twitter. I'm at Nolan_Higdon. Nick is at Dr. Dreadlocks. And Janice is at J_Nice44. You listened responsibly.